Romans 3, read with me from verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now I want to talk to you about something today that's a very serious situation in the realm of religion today and in the world and wherever, and maybe here as far as I know. And that has to do with, we'll just say, lost believers. The proposition I want to present to you is that it is impossible for a man to save himself. It is impossible for you as an individual to just get saved. It's impossible for you to just decide that it'll be that way and that's the way it's going to be. It is impossible for man to save himself. And then it is possible, though, to be lost while claiming to be saved. It's possible to be lost while even thinking a person is saved. There are hundreds of people out there this morning that think they're saved, but they're not saved at all. They're lost. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time this morning. There are just three things that I want to present to you, and I'll do them just as fast as I can. Number one, I want you to notice that the Bible is clear that the things of God are foolish to men and women. The things of God are foolish. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And notice there's something very specific in that which he said in verse 9. I have not seen, ear heard, it's never entered in the heart of man, the things of God, no. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The emphasis is upon loving the Lord. Them that love him. Implication being that a lost person would not love him. Therefore, they'd never have those things. Say people would love him. They get the things. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Come to verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There is no mistake about that. If there is any mistake about it, the Word of God is wrong. The natural man, that is the man that's born of the, comes forth from his mother's womb, the physical, visible, natural man. The man as in Romans chapter 5, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. He cannot know them. Are you thinking with me? The people you know in the natural realm today cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you are not saved, if you are lost this morning, you as a natural human being cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Forget it, you can't do it. How do I know you can't? Because God said you can. The natural man cannot receive. It's neither in the ear, the eye, the heart. You can't get the things of God. They are foolishness unto you. Why is that? Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and hold on to 1 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because of a mental condition. His mind is mentally deranged. He can't get them. He can't understand them. They're spiritual things. He can understand things in the physical realm. He cannot understand things in the spiritual realm. You, as a lost person, you as a natural human being, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. You can't do it. You say, I do. No, you don't. You can't. It's an impossibility. The spiritual realm is out there, and you can't grasp them. If you're not saved, you cannot, as a natural human being, get saved, because you can't see how to do it. Your mind is deranged. There is something wrong with you. You were affected in the fall of Adam. You are depraved. You are a depraved, sinful individual, rebellious against God, rebellious against the Word of God, rebellious against the Spirit of God, and you cannot understand the things of God. That isn't all. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Then there is no mistake about it. If you do not have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a carnal-minded individual, and you're at enmity with God, and you cannot receive the things of God. You cannot understand the things of God. You're doomed, and you're damned, and you're lost, and you're going to go to hell. There ain't no old man's about it, and you can't do anything about it as a natural-born individual depraved from your mother's womb. You can't stop it. But that isn't all. Guess worse. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you don't believe this, don't say you believe your Bible. Now look. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What an indictment. Well, look what we found. We found that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't even know them. They're spiritually discerned. We found that the natural man has a mental situation. His mind is depraved. He's got something wrong with him. He can't think on the level of the things of God. And the carnal-minded man can't please God, can't receive the thing, but that isn't all. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to that man. I can stand up here in front of people 24 hours a day, if I can last that long, and preach the gospel to the lost people, and it would be foolishness unto them as natural human beings. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are carnal-minded. Their understanding is darkened. They cannot see the truths of God. And on and on the thing goes, the natural man can't save himself. But that isn't all. The natural man cannot just of his own accord get saved. Why? He can't even realize his predicament. He's like that man in Luke chapter 10. Jesus said that there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves. They beat him up, left him there half dead. He's unconscious. He doesn't know what's going on around him. All right? A lost individual is unconscious of the things of God. They're unconscious of the needs of God, and on. If you are not saved this morning, you can't please God. You can't satisfy God. You can't understand the things of God. You can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. You can't even understand the gospel. The gospel of Christ is foolishness unto you. You can't understand why on earth Jesus Christ would have done what he did if you're lost this morning, and in the natural realm you can't get it. Well, then that sounds like it's impossible for a lost person to get saved. How on earth could a lost person get saved? Well, notice now, there's another side to the picture that I want you to see this morning. I want you to see that there are people that probably we know, maybe somebody in this room for as I know, that have the letter of truth without the Spirit. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You can have the letter without the Spirit. Take Romans 7 and also take John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John 5 and Romans 7. John 5 verse 39. John 5, 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify me, and you will not come to me, that you might have life. Now we're dealing with the scriptures. Now you keep something in mind. This Bible is written in English. Anybody that can read sixth grade English can read a Bible. And anybody that can understand a newspaper can understand words written in a Bible. Words are just words, and you can't make out of it. I mean, words are words. Whether they're in a Bible or whether they're in a book, they're words. And anybody that can understand words anywhere can understand the same words in a Bible. Therefore, a lost person, are you listening? A lost person could still be lost and believe in dispensations. A lost person could read this Bible and find out how to divide out dispensations. A lost person could read this Bible and find out that Jesus Christ came, find out that he died, find out that he was buried and rose again, and on. A lost person can read this Bible and find out about the rapture and the second coming of Christ and the tribulation and the Antichrist and the millennium. I'm telling you, by the letter they can get it. A lost person can understand words. The letter without the Spirit. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think to have eternal life. Well, there are some people today that have the scripture, and they'll give you a scripture, and I say, you saved, and boy, they'll lay it on you just like that. They'll give you a scriptural answer. I don't more believe they're saved than I believe my cat is. You say, why do you not? Because the way they live ain't got nothing to do with the way they live. It has to do with their attitude toward the Lord. It has to do with attitude. It has to do with a spiritual thing there. I don't believe they're saved. No. Well, I've known some people in the past 25 years that I believe are saved, that live lives that would have been said by other people they couldn't have been saved. I believe they're saved. Oh, they had a good testimony. They had a warm testimony. And there was a testifying spirit in their testimony and whatever. Not just some religious realm they were involved in. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Hey, you can hear the gospel, and you can believe the letter without the Spirit. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, notice verse 6. But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we are held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now think with me a minute. Back in Exodus chapter 32, Moses went upon Mount Sinai. While he's up there, God Almighty gave him the law. The law is written on tables of stone. Moses comes down out of that mountain. When he gets down there, they made the golden calf, so he breaks that. Moses goes back up there, and God wrote the law. Now, there are two parts to it. There's the ceremonial side and the moral side and all that. But nevertheless, God wrote the law. Moses came down off of that mountain and read the law in the ears of the people. And they said, whatsoever God has said, we will do. And yet they never came to the place of condemnation. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 that the law was given to bring them to condemnation. That the law was never given to save them. That the law was given to show them they needed a Savior. They never saw that. They kept the letter of the law, and they were condemned. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, they heard the Scriptures read to them. They said, whatever God has said, we'll do. There are people today that you read the Bible unto them, you quote the Scripture to them, and they say, I'll do that. There are people that have been led to get on their knees and say, do you believe you're a sinner? The Bible says you are. Yeah, I believe I am. You believe you died, you go to hell? Yeah, I believe so. And all, just like dealing with little children. You ever watch people deal with little children? Say, you believe you're a sinner? Yes, sir. You want to go to hell? No, sir. You want to go to heaven? Yes, sir. You believe Jesus died for you? Yes, sir. And on and on. Why, these people, they can be led to say different things as you want them to say. And I've talked to young people, say, you saved me. I say, yes, sir. What makes you think you're saved? Because Jesus Christ died for me. Well, I knew Jesus Christ died for me before I ever got saved. Long time before I ever got saved. I knew he died, was buried, and rose again. Search the Scriptures, and then you think to have eternal life. Is there a possibility that there might be somebody in the room this morning that on the basis of Scriptures you think you have eternal life, when the truth of the matter is you don't have eternal life? Is there a possibility someone would be listening to tape or watching the video and you don't have eternal life? You are one of those that can't understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. But you can get the letter without the Spirit. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to cut in the middle of everything. Verse 6, a reference to God. Verse 6, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Then the things of God are foolish to the natural man. He can't receive them, but the natural man can receive the letter without the Spirit. He can understand the words of the law and the words of the gospel and still not be saved. Lost, doomed, damned, depraved. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's fascinating to me. You see, I didn't just start thinking on this thing. I've been thinking on this thing for many, many years. And there's some of you have heard me preach along this line before. But the thing is, the more people that I know that claim to be saved today, the more people that I find that I'm meeting that have the letter with apparently no testimony of the Spirit in their life at all. The letter without the Spirit. Now, how can a person be saved then? Everything that we've read implies there. For instance, if I compare 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. The implication could be then that a person could search the Scriptures. They could get the Scriptures. They could quote the Scriptures. Those Jews could quote you the law right down the line. They are lost, they are doomed, and they are damned. They are depraved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish through it. How can a person be saved? What good is it for me to preach the gospel unto people if they can't receive it? Well, there's a way. There is a way. Notice. Turn, please, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. There's only one way that a person can be saved. John chapter 6, verse 44. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The only way that the natural man, the only way that the lost can receive the things of God is by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God does not reveal to that individual their need, they'll never have one. They can't get it. They can read their Bible. They can't get it without the Spirit of God revealing it unto them. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I believe that the Spirit of God convicts people of their need for a Savior by the preached word. I don't believe it's by reading. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and it is they, he said, which testify of me. And you will not come to me, he said, that you might have life. I believe people can read this Bible and read this Bible and reread this Bible and be lost and go to hell. He said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Go to John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, there's no getting around that. Well, how's that work? Well, to me, it looks like, say, that right here is the lost individual. That lost individual has ears. Here is the saved individual. The saved individual over here has the Spirit of God in him. And the Spirit of God in this individual here proclaims the truth, and the proclamation of that truth is heard by this individual over here. Now, the Bible said, whosoever, here he is here, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Looks like a contradiction between 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 1. Why, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 said the natural man receiving all the things of God, he can't receive them. 1 Corinthians 1 said that the preaching of the cross is to him foolishness. And yet we know that the Spirit of God can fix it so it won't be foolishness. Well, then, when the Spirit of God reveals the truth, the passage said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, if he does not believe on Christ as his Savior, and he can't do that without the Spirit of God, then if he doesn't believe on Christ as Savior, he cannot call unto salvation. It's impossible. He can't do it. He can say, Lord, save me. But if he doesn't believe on Christ as his Savior, he can't get saved. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Folks, it boils down to one thing. Unless the Spirit of God leads this lost individual here in calling upon the Lord, receiving the Lord, in trusting Christ, and believing the gospel, he can go to hell. That's just all there is to it. Well, how does that work? All right, the preacher preaches. How shall they believe without hearing? How shall they hear without a preacher? It pleased God to the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, the Spirit-led preacher preaches the gospel, preaches the truth by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God convicts this individual over here. How does he do that? By the way, I want you to think about, just for a moment while we're turning to a page here, I want you to think about a preacher here proclaiming, and this individual here, uninterested. This individual turns a deaf ear. This individual said, I've got my own religion. I don't need that stuff. This individual said, well, I ain't too bad, and on, turns a deaf ear. The preaching of, in other words, this individual has to hear by the Spirit of God to call upon the Lord to get saved. There's no other way. Turn, please, to John chapter 16 and notice how the Spirit worked this out. John 16, in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, there's no mistaking that. In other words, as this preacher here preaches the gospel, the Spirit of God is going to reprove this individual of sin. In other words, the Spirit of God, through this man right here, is going to convict this sinner over here of sin. How's that? This sinner over here is going to end up recognizing their sin. They're not going to do what Israel did. Israel heard the law read and said, whatsoever God has said, we'll do it. He's not going to do that. This man is going to say, woe is me. He's going to say, look at me. I'm a miserable, wretched sinner. I'm unworthy to be in God's presence. I'm unworthy to call upon the Lord. I am no good. Look at me. I'm a miserable, dreadful sinner. The psalmist said, I came forth lying from my mother's womb. This individual is going to recognize themselves as a dreadful, miserable sinner, unworthy to be in the presence of God. Adam hid from God, and God came into the presence of Adam and put Adam out of his presence. And this individual is going to recognize that they can't charge into God's presence. They're unworthy. They're unclean. And it's going to be a comparison like Jesus gave. He said, two men went up in the temple to pray. One a Pharisee. And he prayed thus with himself and said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. All right, that individual is not reproved of sin. But he said the other individual just wouldn't even look up to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said, that man went away justified rather than the other. In other words, when the Spirit of God, through this individual, convicts this individual will be convinced that unless they get saved, they're going to hell. They're going to burn in hell, burn eternally in hell. That is the judgment side. He said he'll reprove of sin, righteousness, judgment. Sin, born in sin, no good before God, unworthy of the blessings of God. Righteousness, incapable of attaining those righteousness. In other words, this man here by the Spirit of God will be brought to the place that he will see he cannot climb some ladder into heaven. He'll see he cannot attain unto righteousness, as in Romans chapter 9. The man today that believes he's going to attain unto God's righteousness is no more saved than my animal at my house is. That cat is a... by the way, if it tells you anything, his name is Hugo. Does Hugo sound like somebody that would... Hugo is lost. That cat is lost. That cat would he'd be just as close to getting saved as the people today that say, by my righteousness, I'm going to get there. I'm going to attain unto God's righteousness by doing good things. The Spirit of God has never convicted that person. The Spirit of God has never convinced that person of their condition. The Spirit of God will convince of sin, born in sin, miserable wretch. The Spirit of God will convict of righteousness, understanding that you can't be righteous. You're not righteous. Your righteousness is ours, filthy rags. And judgment. Understanding that God's judgment is going to fall upon you. That you deserve that judgment. That judgment is sure. It's real. And it's going to come. No man, he said, can come to me except the Father draw. Now go back into John again. And this time back into John 6. John 6, and notice verse 37. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In other words, God the Father, before the foundation of the world, according to his foreknowledge, saw those that would be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those God the Father chose. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. verse 29, Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. It's clear. The Spirit of God convicts by the gospel of Christ those that the Father did foreknow. The Father foreknew whether you would be convicted or whether you would claim your own righteousness. And them that the Father gives to the Son will come to the Son. Not saying according to this right here, I've got eternal. Not that kind of thing. They'll come to the Son of God for life. The Bible said that when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Christ is my life. Life is in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's no mistaking about it, folks. Tell me, are you saved? When were you ever convicted of sin? Now, you just answer that. At what point in your life did the Spirit of God convince you that you were a miserable, no good wretch and not better than anybody else? When did you ever see that you really aren't any better than he is or she is or they are? Convicted of sin. When were you ever convicted of righteousness and realized that all your righteousnesses are as filth? All right? Nail it down. Name the time. Put it on the calendar. When? When were you convicted of judgment? At what point in your life did you fear judgment? At what point in your life did you fear the wrath of God and fear the judgment of God and dread that? If those things are not true, then the Spirit of God has never convicted you. You've never been drawn to the Lord. And unless the Father draw you, you can't come to Jesus, but all that the Father giveth him will come to him. Where in your life can you take a calendar and put a circle around a day and said, right there is the day that I, being convicted, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I knew I was doomed. I knew I was damned. I knew I was going to hell. I knew right then, unless God saved me, I'd burn in hell. Where can you do that? In my particular case, I know exactly the day. And I knew I was going to hell. I sat there and wiped the sweat out of the palms of my hands. I wanted to be saved. But I didn't want anybody to know I wanted to be saved. But I didn't want to be lost. I didn't want to go out of that place that night without being saved. I was afraid to. I feared. A 31-year-old man. My heart was turning over inside of me. I was in a miserable condition. I wanted salvation. The Spirit of God had convinced me that in spite of the fact that I'd walked the aisle as a young boy and claimed to have received Jesus, that I was just lost. The Spirit of God convicted me that all my righteousnesses were just filthy rags. The Spirit of God convicted me of judgment, and that night, the Spirit of God led me as I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's never been a day since then that I've known that I saved. I know when it happened, how it happened, and so forth. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a son of God. I know I'm adopted. I know the Spirit of God drew me unto the Lord. And I know the Lord saved me. Can you say that? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus said, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Have you come to Jesus Christ for life? When did you, as a lost sinner, come to Jesus that you might have life? Where is that day? Do you know the day you were born physically? Get there anyone in here that doesn't know that. You can go and mark it down on the calendar. You that are married, you know the day you got married? why there's certain events in the life that everybody knows about. Well, you just tell me, how is it that at some time in your life you were afraid you were going to hell, you were miserable, and trusted Christ and go all the way lost? How can it be? No man coming to the Father, coming to Jesus, unless the Father draw him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's only by the Spirit. If you don't have those convictions in your life, never have, then I challenge you to pray that God Almighty will convict you. I challenge you to pray and ask God for that conviction. Get it somehow. Do something. But don't just stand. Do one way or another. Move. Do something about it. But don't just sit around and wait for judgment to fall upon you. You're too precious for that. Don't just sit and wait. Don't wallow away. Say, well, I don't know about that. Or what if I did back there? And on and on. Well, did you know? I know I did. If you don't know, why don't you know? If you don't know that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that, then you must not have. If the Spirit of God convicted you of sin and righteousness and judgment, surely you know that. But what is to convince? When were you convinced? And being convinced, got saved. If that's never happened to you, if I were you, I'd take it for granted it had not happened. And do something about it. Would you let's stand for prayer?